Welcome back to the Cops Right Report podcast. I'm your host, as always, Damian Parson. And on the Cops with me tonight, you may as well call us a TST Takeover. I got my main man, Gregory Dunson, and my homie from all both of them boys from Baltimore, Crev Anderson. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, man?
What's happening, man? How everybody doing tonight?
Hey, cooling, man. Got off work, you know. Just got off a long day.
I'm doing a little better than Cleveland and LeBron doing right now.
I was about to say, fellas, man, pull up the violin, cue the funeral music, zip up the body bag, it's done.
Yo, what Charles Barkley them boys be saying? You going fishing? Them boys going fishing after tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I think everybody done checked out outside of probably LeBron and Kyrie.
Yeah, them boys plan their vacation. They done call the wife, say, hey, the kid's out of school. Let's go ahead and go to Aruba. Let's go here. Let's go there. Them boys already ready for the off season, right?
Hey, bro, Craig Elo and Brad Doherty and Mark Price all rolling over their graves right now, man.
Listen, man. Hey.
Tristan Thompson signed for $84 million and he's been a no-show all finals. This man had 3 rebounds yesterday. How do you let a 6'3" point guard get 11 boards and you only end up with 3? That's literally the reason he's on the team.
Exactly. He does nothing else. Man, listen, guys, we got a packed show tonight for y'all. Let's just jump. We already jumped into it. Crev, hit the floor. Give us your recap of Game 3, my brother.
Man, Game 3 was tough. I think it was honestly Cleveland's best opportunity to steal a game. If they didn't get that game, I knew the series was over. I mean, granted, they went down 3-0, so you know the series is over anyway now. But that was their best opportunity. I mean, they had them, but when they couldn't stretch the lead, when they had guys like Ian Clark and McCall on the floor, I kind of saw that the game was over. Once KD and Steph Curry came back into the game, LeBron and Kyrie were gassed at that point because they should have been getting rest, but they weren't. I really think that's the biggest reason why the Cavs lost the game, because they were gassed, honestly.
Facts. What you got, Greg? What you thinking, man?
Oh, man. Game 3, simply, man. Blown opportunity for Cleveland, like my man Crash said, dog. Like, it's all bad, man. Especially them last 3 minutes. That was some of the worst basketball I've seen Cleveland play all year. It's like Kyrie and LeBron just forgot how to play basketball out of nowhere. Those last couple of possessions on offense was just absolutely terrible. First off, Kyrie just 40 seconds left when he got the ball, and he just dribbled the ball. He just dribbled the air out of the ball for like a good 15 seconds. And then when he looked like he had a pass going towards right to the lane for an easy layup, he steps back and takes a 3 when he hadn't made a 3 all game, man. Like, what are you doing?
I think he was living in the past.
I think he was too, man, because, you know, he made that shot on them a couple of times before for game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's probably thinking it's going to go in, but the problem is that, number one, you're tired. So, of course, when you got tired legs, it's harder for you to shoot the basketball. So, that is really to just drive to the lane, get the easy layup, you know, and everything will be better. But instead, he tried to take a 3, and he was over 6 at that point for 3. And I think from 2, he was like 16-22. You had a better shot going to the lane. And LeBron, man, don't even get me started on him on defense. He made 2 of the worst defensive plays I've ever seen him make.
Facts.
That one where he went under the pick on Kevin Durant, a guy who shoots over 40% from 3-point range. You go under the pick and give him space to shoot it. And he's 7 feet, so you know he's going to pull up. I mean, that's just common sense. And then, you know, the last play, LeBron guarded KD, everybody that mama knew he was going to pull up for that 3-point in transition. Everybody knew it. And instead of playing the 3-point line, he just left him shoot the 3. You know,
I didn't really understand that. Like, I mean, he patted himself on the chest to Tyronn Lue, like, my bad. But if that been anybody else, he'd have took him out the game himself. Like, I didn't really understand that. And then after you go under the screen, you sit there flat-footed, knowing that he dribbling in rhythm. What did you say earlier, Damian, you said at the post-game press conference, he was like, he saw him dribbling in rhythm. He didn't want to foul him because he leans in when he shoots.
Yeah, like, he said he didn't want to foul a jump shooter. Yeah, he said, I saw him coming up court. And I saw him dribbling the rhythm. He said, I know when he shoots, he falls forward. I didn't want to jump clear at him to foul a shooter. But my man just jumped in front of the three-point line before he gets there.
Stand flat-footed and let a 6'11 forward have a clear shot. He already taller than you. When he jumped, he could see the basket without you contesting it. That was like
facts.
A free throw for Kevin Durant.
Exactly, though. But the thing about it, if you listen to Kevin Durant,
he shot his whole career.
Exactly. If you listen to KD press conference, he said, I saw him. This is the exact words. I saw him. I was coming up, dribbling down the court. I saw him flat-footed. I saw him flat-footed with his heels behind the three-point line. And he said, I've practiced that shot my entire life. This guy knew what was up.
And the crazy part about it is that LeBron's been in the league for like, 14 years?
14
now?
Years.
He should know better by that point in his career. He should know better. Facts. I mean, you give a guy that type of momentum, giving him a shooting shot in rhythm, Kevin Durant is always going to make that shot. 9 times out of 10, he's going to make that. And, you know, Now the play I want to talk about is the one with Kyle Korver when LeBron made the pass to Kyle Korver. I actually didn't mind that as much as some people do. The only issue I have with LeBron on that is that if you watch the play, everybody was shifted to the left side of the court on the play.
Mm-hmm.
So Rush was wide open for him to go to the lane. And the issue I have is that Draymond, who had 5,000 guarding you, attacked the rim, because more than likely you're going to get the foul call. I mean, they was giving them a lot of calls in Cleveland. And they wasn't giving Steph no calls in that game.
None.
If Aisha wanted to tweet that day, she could have tweeted.
Yeah, I don't understand LeBron. I mean, at the end of the day, tired or not, because that's what I want to circle back around to, him being tired. You, like you said, you get a foul call almost every time you go to the rack. If he's not flailing and he actually goes to the rack, 9 times out of 10, LeBron James is either going to get a layup, a dunk, or a foul. And the fact that he deferred to Kyle Korver in that moment is what people have a problem with. I mean, it was a great pass because it was the right read. But sometimes the right read is the wrong read. Like, I was watching that clip with Jeff Van Gundy and Tracy McGrady, and he said Tracy McGrady had the right combination of coachability and stubbornness.
LeBron doesn't have that
stubbornness to where he's going to be like, you know what, forget Kyle Korver. I'm LeBron James. I'm going to score or I'm going to miss this. I think people would have been more content had he missed the shot than, you know, him not taking it at all. And that's always been the problem with people throughout his career. Like, he doesn't take the shot. If you go and take the shot, you can miss the shot. Kobe missed more shots than anybody in NBA history.
Thanks.
But he takes the shot. So I don't have a problem with that, you know.
I mean, I want to throw something out to you guys. I want to see what you guys think about this. So look at it like this. So when I want to bring Russell Westbrook up real quick. Everybody knows Russell Westbrook's a dog, right? He goes after. He goes all 48 minutes. He has no chill. I'm going to the cup. I'm going to ball. I'm going to do what I got to do to make sure my team wins. So people kill. Exactly. He's the MVP to me. But people kill him because they said he doesn't know how to defer. He doesn't pass the ball when he should. My thing is, if LeBron had at least a little more of what drives Westbrook, LeBron would be pretty much the most unstoppable force in the NBA. Just that dog to where I know you can't guard me one-on-one. I know you can't stop me from getting to the rim. I'm not going to just keep looking to pass to my open shooters. That play you guys were talking about, the fact that he's on the right side of the court, everyone's on the left side to pass to Korver. If he drives to his right hand, that's his dominant hand. A couple years ago, MJ made a comment. If you guard LeBron to the left, if you force him to the left, you know he's going to pull up for the jumper. if you guard him to the, if you force him to the right, he's going to drive on you. He had a clear right lane. All he had to do was drive. And I think who was it? I think it was Draymond guarding him. All he had to do was drive. Yeah. And you, like Krav said, you either going to get the, you going to get the bucket, you going to get the bucket and the foul, or you just going to get the foul. And Draymond's disqualified because that's six on him. He had five fouls. Draymond couldn't play aggressive. He couldn't play aggressive. But earlier in the game, LeBron had a fast break, and he attacked Draymond because he know Draymond couldn't get it, couldn't risk another foul. So why did you attack him in early in the game, third quarter? Why wouldn't you attack him when the game's on the line? The game is actually on the line. So that's where, and I know Shannon and a lot of other people that we're going to bring on in the next couple days to a week, I know a lot of them are going to take up for LeBron, but you got to think about it. This man, to me, doesn't have that killer mindset. That's why Kyrie did what he did last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's that fine line, man. It's got to be a balance. You know, you have to understand the difference between when to be aggressive and when to make the right play. I think that was one of the things that makes Michael Jordan, to be honest with you, the GOAT. Because, you know, he didn't always take the game winning shot. You know, there were times when he knew, look, remember when he told Steve Kerr, hey, man, be ready. I'm going to get you that. I'm going to draw that double. Just be ready to take that three. And mm-hmm. he will make the pass. And you know, lo and behold, that's why Steve Kerr won three rings with Chicago. You know, it's a very fine balance. My thing with LeBron, and we talked about this before, Dame, is that he's always been kind of a front runner. And I think that's really where the struggle of when to be aggressive and when to just make the right basketball play comes in to effect. I think he, you know, because sometimes that can be your downfall, too. I mean, as much as a dog like guys like Russell Westbrook and Kobe were, I think that was also their downfall a lot of times, too. They didn't know when to tail it back. It's a more chemical balance to figure out. But, you know, but like I said, I don't think the play was necessarily a bad idea. But like I said, number one, you had a clear lane to the right. But then the other thing was that Kevin Love set one of the weakest screens I ever saw.
All facts. Complete facts. So that screen was horrible.
Yeah, man.
That's also true.
Yeah, man. So that was a weak. So he set a weak screen on Steph. So when he did pass the ball to Kyle Kuzma, Steph was able to close in on time to contest the shot. And that's one of the reasons why he probably missed. Because I think they said Kyle Kuzma making something like 60% from that spot.
That's his favorite spot on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Which is insane. So it's not a bad idea from a basketball perspective, but I'm sorry, man. If I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose with my best guy doing it.
And, you know, I'm out that Kobe, Melo, my favorite player right now, and I argue with anybody. I'd rather Melo take 100 shots than a dude like Amon Shumpert take any shots. I promise you. I live and die with Melo or LeBron or KD or Steph Curry or Westbrook or whoever taking 100 shots versus a dude that you know going to miss 80% of the time taking 10 shots.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
I feel like you put the ball in your best player hands. Like, that's just the way I look at sports in general. You know, your quarterback is going to get the ball to his best receivers in football. You know, the best player plays shortstop or third base in baseball. Like,
that's what you're getting paid for, man.
Yeah, you know, that's what you're getting paid for. You that guy for a reason. It's a reason that he got a poster going down the side of the arena and not Kyle Korver.
Man, I'm not even a big Skip Bayless fan, but he had me laughing today when he basically said,
I told you he was going to go off.
He trusts. Yeah. You know, he did make a mistake, man. He just was kind of right on that, man. You trusted an Atlanta Hawks. You can't trust an Atlanta Hawks, man.
For what? I mean, for what? Like, you can't trust an Atlanta. You can't trust Atlanta, period, as we saw from the Super Bowl. So you just need to leave that city where it is. You know what I mean? You got to leave that city where it is. Let them do what they do, yo.
Last Atlanta team that actually did something was, what, the Braves in 95?
Yeah, it was a long time ago, man. I was a kid back then. So I mean, let's talk about it real quick. And we got to be, you know, as objective and unbiased as possible. Let's think of any realistic scenario. Can the Cavs really come back? Seriously.
Nope. Two words. Hell no.
And I'm going to just say nope. And it's because, one, the Cavs don't have the talent or the depth to match the Warriors. The Warriors' second unit outplayed the Cavaliers' starters yesterday. That told me everything I needed to know about the two teams, how they constructed right now. The second one is the Warriors aren't going to lose four straight. There's no way humanly possible that they'll lose four straight. They haven't lost four straight since 2013, and that was before they had Kevin Durant. That was before Steph Curry's ankles was right. That was before Klay Thompson really grew his beard and decided that he was going to be the light-skinned John B. They are not losing. They are not losing. It is not happening. I promise you that.
First and foremost, if they become the first team ever to blow a 3-1 and a 3-0 lead, oh my god, man, they wouldn't be able to live after that point.
If that happened, you gotta throw the whole team in the trash, yo. If they lost a 3-1 and a 3-0 lead, you gotta throw the whole franchise in the trash, yo.
But dog, when LeBron James was on the bench, the Cavs were -12. He was only on the bench for 2 minutes.
Oh yeah, that was a horrible stat, right, yo. Like,
yo, -12, yo, you didn't even sit that long. That tells me everything I need to know right there. They're not going to beat them. All Steve Kerr got to basically just do is just wait for them to get tired. That's all we got to do.
Facts. And I think the thing was, when you look at Kyrie, we talked about it last podcast, Greg. Kyrie had to wake up. Kyrie had to be Kyrie. But you want to know what really bugs me? Let me throw this eye-popping stat out, right? So Kyrie Irving dropped 38 points last night, right? He was 16-29. He was 0-for-7 from 3. He had 6 rebounds, something that we talked about that he doesn't do on the regular. You want to know what still bothered me? 3 assists, man. You still only get 3 assists? Come on.
Yeah.
Like, you at some point, you have to make some strides in your game to get other people. You know that they're going to double and triple team you off of pick and roll and everything else. You have to figure out how to get Kyle Korver that easy look. Get J.R. Smith that easy look. J.R. Smith shouldn't have to fade away out of bounds every time he takes a 3-point shot. Granted, I think some of that is on his own doing, because I think he got drunk last night. He hit the Henny last night because he was hitting shots. Because before, I think he was too sober. So, Greg, we talked about the last podcast that JR had to get some Henny in him. So anything possible. Anything is possible. He hit some shots last night, and I knew from that point forward, when he hit that first three, I said, okay, I think he took a couple shots. Then he kept hitting some more. I was like, okay, he may have drunk a whole bottle. JR is JR tonight. JR is JR.
That might be your first sponsor, Damien. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible, man. So, I mean, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? He showed up in that way because he dropped 16. He was 5-for-10 from 3. But at the end of the day, Kyrie, you got 38 points, my man. I understand you thought back to what was it, game 5 last year when he had like 41 or something like that in Golden State. Yeah. I remember, and I understand you want to tap back, like you said earlier, Krev, he went back in the past. I know you want to tap back into that, but you got to get other people involved, man. Don't use the pick and roll as just your own single, to single you up against a defender so you can cook. How about you cook and get everybody else eating too, man? That was my problem, yo.
I think he's stuck in those Uncle Drew commercials. That's all he want to do is put on a show.
Fact.
He want to ooh and awe you. But at the end of the day, part of the reason that LeBron is so passive is, like Greg was saying, it's a fine line. It's a real, real fine line. Like, Kyrie's probably too aggressive sometimes. And when he's not aggressive, he's way too passive. He doesn't know how to find that switch that's right in between. And I think that's why Curry will always be better than him, because he can go at so many different paces. He can push the ball. He can slow it down. He can play off the ball. He doesn't have to score at all. Like, this man had 11 rebounds and like 8 assists last night on top of his 24, 25 points.
Right.
Like, but you know what, though?
and that's funny because, Crab, I swear I said that the last podcast, that he just only knows he's going 160 miles per hour. He doesn't know anything else. But the other thing about it, you mentioned the 38 thing, and I'm even going to bring up LeBron and his 39. Man, that was a tough-ass 38 and 39 they had.
Exactly. They worked for that, yo.
Tough shots to get that. Like, it's like I had to explain to people about what Kevin Durant shot attempts with Steph Curry as opposed to Russell Westbrook. Not all shots and points are created equal. You know, there is a difference. When you're working isolation all the time, it makes it harder for you to get in offense. And it does. You need movement. You need movement. That was one of the things I did like about Cleveland in this game early in the game, was that I actually saw a lot more movement. I saw a lot more plays being ran. That's what they need to do. They don't need to be going isolation all the time, because you're going to just wear out at the end. Steve Kerr just basically all but said, hey, I sat Steph and KD down because I knew they were going to get tired. He wasn't worried about LeBron and Kyrie being good enough to withstand the whole 48 minutes of the game. So he felt like he had no pressure really to play Steph and KD 40 plus minutes. But he's got to make better shot selection. And at the end of the day, man, I mean, Kyrie at this point, I just think kind of is who he is at this point. I don't think he's ever going to become this 8 to 10 assists a game guy. He's a scorer. That's what he's there for. He's there to be a scorer. You know, unfortunately, it stinks because he's only, 6'1"? He's not even a big guy.
He's 6'3".
He's 6'1".
They got him listed on NBA.com as 6'3", so he's the same height as Curry.
Three?
Yeah, that's what they got. They got him listed as 6'3".
I can't buy that. I do not buy it. He doesn't look taller than me, and I'm barely 6'1".
Look, maybe some Tims, he's 6'3", but not even with regular tennis. But at this point, he just kind of is who he is at this point. I don't think he's ever going to... I don't think his game is going to ever get to a real floor general level.
Right.
Like, one thing about Steph Curry is that, yes, he's a scorer, but he's an actual floor general. He puts everybody in the right position to get played, to make plays. That's what you're supposed to do as a point guard. That's why LeBron is kind of a gift and a curse in a lot of ways, because he's so talented with the basketball that, unfortunately, you kind of have no choice but to run him as a point forward a lot of the time, as most of the game, you know?
You have a choice. It's just that, like you said, Kyrie isn't really a good facilitator. So who else do you go to? I looked at it like when LeBron was in Miami, his efficiency went through the roof because he could play off the ball. He had better teammates. He had better spaces.
Exactly.
He tried to recreate that in Miami, in Cleveland with Kyrie. But in reality, Kyrie isn't the same type of player that Dwayne Wade is. Dwayne Wade can play off the ball. Dwayne Wade is a hard-nosed defender. He's going to get in the post and he's going to get you dirty rebounds. He's going to dive on the floor and get you steals. Kyrie isn't that guy. He about the glamour for real. Like, he doesn't really do dirty play. I never really see Kyrie make the dirty play. Now, I've seen him dive on the floor a few times, but I've also seen dudes like Melo dive on the floor. You know, everybody know Melo not really going all out on defense. So, you know, that doesn't really mean anything. But,
it's an issue.
It's pointless. I look at it like, Cleveland's going to have to do a complete overhaul. They're going to have to trade Kyrie. I'd trade Kyrie to the Clippers for Chris Paul. I know he's a free agent, but they can do that sign and trade thing.
Thanks.
And I'd let Kevin Love go to New York for Carmelo Anthony, and I'd try to get Paul George.
Yo, and that's Crab just dropped something. Crab just dropped the bomb, yo.
Paul George at the two. Melo at the three, LeBron at the four, and then Tristan Thompson at the five, or Melo at the four, and then LeBron at the three. That's probably what I would do.
All right, so
Melo's better four than LeBron is.
So let me counter that real quick. So, because I was talking today at work, one of my coworkers, one of my mans at work, and I was like, yo, what I really truly believe that Cleveland should do to really put themselves over the top to be able to contend with Golden State is they need a true point guard. I say, now granted, we all know Kyrie trash on defense. We understand that. And he's not big enough, so that's where the only problem comes in at. Kyrie wants to play like a two guard, right? Kyrie wants to be a shooting guard. You get a true point guard who can actually set up the offense. Like you said, allow LeBron to be efficient. Allow him to be that slasher. Post him up like they used to do in Miami. Different things of that nature. Open up the floor. Traffic cop, direct traffic. Tell this person go here. You line up here. You set that screen. You set that screen. And then allow Kyrie to play off the ball. And when you need him to be that killer, since Kyrie thinks he's Kobe, yo. Like, on some real. Kyrie thinks he's Kobe. He thinks he's Kobe, man.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, let me ask you a question. You think a backcourt of Chris Paul and Kyrie, no matter how small it is, because Chris Paul plays defense, so
yeah,
it'll be okay defensively, because Kyrie, as bad as he is on ball defense, he still plays the lane pretty well.
Right.
So, you know, Chris Paul and Kyrie, I think that could work, honestly, if you slide Kyrie to the two. And I think it could work. I mean, I look at it like this. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum got you almost 50 wins in the West.
Facts. Them boys need help, by the way.
And Chris Paul and Kyrie could get you similar numbers. And then you throw LeBron and maybe a Melo or Dwayne Wade in there. It's a nice team.
The only thing that gives me pause about that is that Chris Paul is so ball dominant. Like, he almost has to have the ball in his hand to be effective on offense in a lot of ways. Now, I do think he could catch and shoot a little more, but then let's remember, Kyrie's not going to pass him the ball. The only way he would get the ball is if LeBron James would get him the ball.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I don't think so. We've seen from when, with Chris Paul, the same thing is true about him that it is with LeBron. Who else on the Clippers is really going to dominate the ball? You know, they don't really have anybody. Their second best ball handler literally might be Blake Griffin. That's not a really a good second option. Like, I think he would defer to LeBron gladly. I look at the Olympics. I look at, like, they turned these into the East versus the West All-Stars. So I look at the Olympics and how they played in the Olympics. Carmelo doesn't have a problem deferring to Chris Paul and LeBron James because he knows that they're better than him.
Yeah.
When Carmelo Anthony either has a really strong-minded point guard or he knows that you're better than him, he will defer. So Melo will become a spot-up shooter. He could be one of the best spot-up shooters in the NBA. We saw what he did in the Olympics. He broke every three-point record out there because he didn't have to put the ball on the ground as much and stuff like that. I think Chris Paul and LeBron double-teaming the ball-handling duties, you split it right down the middle. Let Chris Paul run the offense, then you let LeBron run the offense. LeBron going to post when Chris Paul run the offense. Chris Paul going to ring when LeBron run the offense. I think it could work really well.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it couldn't work because they're all great players. Great players will adjust to one another
eventually.
Right. Talent always prevail at the end of the day. Look at Golden State. The only thing that gives me pause and concern is just the fact that, you know, CP3 and LeBron don't got too many prime years left either, and the same with Melo. So you got to hope that it's like, with KD going to Golden State, you gotta hope that chemistry just instantly clicks. You gotta hope it clicks so that you can win right away.
You don't think that they click instantly? LeBron, Wade, Chris Paul, and Melo are click tight. They like brothers.
I think it could work. I think if that was the team, they would give Golden State a run for their money. It works well with them in the Olympics because it's not only just them four. I mean, they're playing with a slew of talent.
Yeah, they are. But they were the core for what? the 8 years that they were really like putting USA basketball back on the map. Like Kobe was on his down tick. He was the old man of the team. Like it was really LeBron and KD, and KD might be the only other person outside of them that year or the years that they all went that really shined outside of those guys.
I think the core, like it's like all I'm saying is basically the core to me will work. I think that would be fine. My thing is, what you're gonna put around them?
True. Yeah.
I don't think they got the right role, because I don't think they have necessarily the right role players on Cleveland right now. I think some of those guys gotta go. Like, come on, man, guys like D won't, like that guy. Like, I mean, he was awful. He was awful yesterday. In a few minutes, he got out there, and like, I just think they have to have the right guys who can play the right role around those four, because those four are clearly talented. You know what I mean?
Like they'll
work together. They'll work together well. But it's like with Golden State. Despite them having a big four, they have good role players around them. That's what you need. It's about stars. Stars win games. But good role players will help stars win championships.
So yeah,
absolutely.
I want to change the narrative real quick though, because we had this discussion on social media today and last night. You know, a lot. You know, shout out to Shannon. He doesn't believe so, but when you look at it, right? LeBron James built. I don't want to hear no more about help. LeBron James built the team that he has. That team is built for his skill set. LeBron is a premier passer. He is a Magic Johnson, you know, Sean Kemp, Michael Jordan, all in one type of body, and he built a team of shooters. He got alongside with Kyrie, who's a killer, tremendous ball handler, and you know, he loves playing with him because it takes the pressure off of him. You went and got Shump, who's a defender. You got JR, who can light it up, you know, at times. Here's the thing. A lot of people are killing Tristan Thompson right now, right? Who asked for Tristan Thompson to get that money? LeBron James asked for Tristan Thompson to get that money. Listen, people didn't want Tristan Thompson to get paid. Real basketball fans were like, yo, Tristan Thompson should not get this type of money because he's trash. Let's keep it 100. He rebounds and that's it. He's not a good defender. He can't shoot free throws. He can't work in the post. He's only good for offensive rebounds. So when he's like, as we see now, when he's not doing that, he's pointless. He's a waste of space, a waste of time. So when you're sitting there and you paying him what? I don't even remember his contract. But
yeah, they paid him like 15 million, something like that.
Yeah, 84 million.
I know it's in total 84.
Exactly. So you're paying him that type of money. Who stuck their neck out there and said, I want him back? LeBron did. So don't give me that LeBron didn't create this team. Yeah, you could say, Shannon said, oh, well, the team is, they grabbed the players that were available, right? So, yeah, you got the players that were available, but still yet, LeBron is such a premier passer. You want to open the floor so he can drive. You built that team, my man. You got to live and die with it.
All right. Man, I don't want shit, man. Can I play devil's advocate then?
Yeah.
I play the role of Shannon right now, because how I see it is LeBron constructed his team exactly the way you said it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But right. Golden State went to the shop like, we going to one-up him.
Facts.
So now the team that he constructed to win a championship isn't good enough, because the way he constructed his team was good enough to beat Golden State last year before they added KD. And everybody knew that when they flipped Harrison Barnes for Kevin Durant, that this was going to be totally different. It's just that the Cleveland fans were in denial. The facts are the facts. This team isn't good enough.
It's so funny everybody talking about, you know, the Cleveland players aren't good enough. I don't want, man, LeBron James had Dan Gilbert spending bands on them players, dog. Bands. Like, they got the highest payroll in the league.
Facts.
You know, so either they had to be somewhat good, or you just basically wasted millions upon millions of dollars on guys that really aren't as good as you thought they were. Now, I agree with
exactly what happened.
Yeah, now, And I totally agree with you about they, you know, that team was basically built to be the previous Golden State team, you know. I mean, let's be real, Harrison Barnes and Kevin Durant is like night and day. I mean, that's not even close.
Yo, Harrison Bums was out there shaving points, man.
But let's just be real. People are mad because KD stacked his team better than LeBron James stacked his.
Facts, though. Facts.
But see, again, to play devil's advocate, LeBron stacked his team. KD joined an already stacked team. He went to a team that was already in the oven baking. It was done, and he just went and reheated it and made it better. LeBron, I can give him credit to the fact that he bought pieces in and they had to build it from the ground up, regardless of how good the players that he bought in was. He still had to develop that chemistry. Now, granted, KD had to develop chemistry with Steph and Draymond and all them, but Draymond, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Iggy and all them, they already had chemistry. So all they had to do was just figure out a way to slide KD in, which in essence is a little easier to do than building a team and getting chemistry with everybody. Like, that's one thing I will say to LeBron, get credit for from what he said. I know a lot of people won't kill him for that press conference because it sounded like he was pretty much being salty and everything like that. But in reality, he was telling the truth because he built his team. Yeah, he picked his pieces. He had picked his pieces. He bought, you know, Wade in Miami, and he bought Kyrie. He went back to Kyrie in Cleveland and stuff like that. But KD saw a team that was great, that won 73 games last year. He said, man, if I went there, I know I wouldn't lose a championship. That's not the same thing. Like, I don't hate KD for going to Golden State. Granted, you do your thing. You get your money in your ring, young fella. Like, I'm not mad at you.
But
not the same thing.
When you put it like that, yeah, I have to agree with you on that. Now, KD, you know, I mean, obviously, I already told people when it happened that was going to be an easy fit because KD really don't need the ball to put up 30. You know, he's such an efficient scorer, so I was never really worried about, you know, him fitting in with that team. I already knew that. But I will say this, I'll give KD credit on this, though. You know, even though he chose to go to Golden State, he's made that his team. Yeah. I think it is his team. Don't get me wrong, Steph Curry is just that. Now, I want to say this before people start going off on me. Steph Curry is I felt your aura, man. Steph Curry is just as important to that team as KD. So I don't want people to think that I'm just trying to dismiss Steph Curry. But if you need that one-on-one play, KD can get you that. Steph can get you that, too, but he's a smaller guy. So it's a little harder for him to do that as opposed to a guy like KD who's 7 feet, you know, and can basically, his arms are so long, he can basically just shoot over anybody. So they basically become like a 1A, 1B type of team now.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think KD walked in and became the alpha male as far as talent, but alpha male as far as running a team. I think Draymond Green run that team.
Oh, yeah, he's a bully.
He's a bouncer.
I think, you know, everything they do go through him.
He's the bouncer in front of the club that'll throw you out.
Right, facts. But here's the thing I want to drop real quick. When you look at last year, right? So, well, look, you can go back 2 years ago. When LeBron lost to Golden State in 6, what was the narrative? His ace in the hole, Kyrie Irving, was hurt. Okay, cool. He was actually hurt. So was Kevin Love, right? So, all right, it came back last year. Everybody was healthy, right? They still went down 3-1 to a team without KD, right? Okay, cool. Yeah. They came back. Now, did some things fall their way? Did Draymond get suspended? Did Andrew Bogut get hurt? Did the momentum was the momentum flipped in the favor of Cleveland for the Cavs? It did. Absolutely, right? So, here's the thing. When you look at how it was, you had the superstar, the big superstar in LeBron, the king, the best player in the world, and you have his deadly ace in Kyrie Irving. And you got their third wheel who could do some good things, but can't against this team because Draymond's a he cancels him out. Man, just, and Kevin Love, he cancels that nigga out. He cancels dude out, right? So here's the thing that really that I thought about. I was like, man, you know the crazy part is when you look at that, you got like I said, you got the superstar, the big superstar, and then you got the ace. Now when KD joined Golden State, it gave Golden State the exact same thing. It gave them that 1-2 punch with the big superstar and the ace. Now, the difference is Steph Curry's a superstar, too. He just doesn't have the physical tools that KD and LeBron have because he's shorter, he's smaller, he's not as athletic as them. But when you put them two, like 2K, my part, 2-on-2, you got KD and Steph versus LeBron and Kyrie pretty much. So now that's why Kyrie had to face Steph Curry. It literally made it a 1-on-1 battle. There is no more trapping me, Kyrie. There's no more being physical with me off the screens, Kyrie. There's no more grabbing me and LeBron jumping me before I could get to the 3-point line. It's your guy has to stick to my guy, and you got to stick to me. So it really made it a 1-on-1 situation. That's why I love the matchup because now you like I said, the key was the point guard thing. Would Kyrie outplay Steph? God no, he hasn't. Steph, besides last night, Steph is averaging 30 in this series.
I'm not even going to say last night though either because Steph did more than just score in that game.
Facts. Like, facts.
It's not about just scoring. You got to be able to affect the game in other ways too. And Kyrie is just continuously shows he can't do anything but really score. That's really what he does. That's all he can really do.
And the thing for me, I don't want to hear anybody killing Kevin Love and saying, oh, man, you know, we got to get rid of Kevin Love. You know, because 2 years ago, you were complaining that Kevin Love was hurt. So when he came back and you still were down 3-1 last year with him and you're down 3-0 with him, I don't want to hear that narrative anymore. I don't want to hear it. You traded away Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love. You got what you wanted. Now, don't tell me that Kevin Love is a bum or he can't play or he's not a good because I've seen it. I've seen it in arguments. Kevin Love isn't Draymond. Say what? When Kevin Love was coming out of Minnesota, you weren't saying that. A couple years ago when people were ranking Draymond Green as a top 50 player, nobody was agreeing with that. So don't give me that narrative now because at the same time, it's just a simple fact that Golden State is more athletic, and Kevin Love isn't going to get the wide open shots. He can't post Draymond. He can't run away from Draymond. Draymond's like a bad rash to this man. No matter how much you scratch him, he's still there.
Draymond is just as non-athletic as Kevin Love. He just wants it more. Kevin Love thinks that he's an athletic specimen, that he can rely on his gifts. Draymond knows that he doesn't really have many athletic gifts. Now, he can dunk and he can jump pretty, you know, high for an NBA player. But by NBA standards, he's not really athletic. I mean, if you stood him between, you know, beside me or any one of us, he might seem really athletic. But compared to NBA guys, he's not really athletic. He just really wants it more than a lot of other people. Yeah. And I think that's what set guys like him, Iguodala, Tony Allen, things like that apart, because at the end of the day, like, defense more than anything is just wanting to do it.
Yeah, it's a desire, like, yo. It's a hunger.
You can play defense, and you just gotta want to do it. Draymond wants to play defense. He wants all those dirty stats more than any other person, and I think that's what makes Draymond Green really good. Granted, he can do everything, like a Swiss Army knife, he can do everything you need him to do on the court, but he doesn't do one thing really well except for hustle. He hustles more or better than anybody I've seen since maybe Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, Draymond Green, that's why I said it on the podcast a couple podcasts ago. You know, Draymond Green just gives you that old school vibe. He's a true old school player at heart. Like, he just gives you maximum effort. He's always going to play hard. He's going to be a little out of control at times, but that's the type of dude you want on your team. You want that gritty guy.
You need that. Every team needs a Draymond Green, yo.
They're missing that gritty guy.
Every team needs that. Like, facts, though.
I hate to say it, but y'all think they missing Dellavedova?
Yo, that's crazy. is it you just said that? Because I swear to goodness, shout out to my man Darian, aka Go. My man was like, everybody keeps saying that they miss Deli. You know, Deli would get that free smoke from Curry too, which is true. But Deli would have been diving at somebody's knees by now. Deli would have been
on the screen trying to fight through a screen, gut punching and stuff, man. Deli would have been grabbing cats, you know, chopping in the throat. Like, yo, y'all not about to be screening me all game, bro. Like, he has that edge to him. He plays with an edge and whatnot. But it's crazy because we did not stick to the outline whatsoever, and I'm good with it. I don't even care, dog, because we already know that this series is a wash. We already know that this series is a wash, man. Like, let's keep it 100. So, I mean, it's a wash. It's done.
I think we
got
some pretty good points in. I mean, at the end of the day, it's more about analyzing the teams than analyzing the series at this point because, like you said, this is a foregone conclusion. LeBron know they done. LeBron mother know they done. LeBron father, Delonte West, wherever he is, he know that they done. Like, it's over.
Listen.
You know.
Listen, man. Like,
speaking of the outline, and since we off topic already, let's talk about my man Carmelo Anthony.
That should go ahead into your hot take, bro. You got it.
Man, let me ask y'all a question.
All right.
Why do you think that Carmelo Anthony gets as much flack that he does?
I'll start. I think the problem with Carmelo that a lot of people come after him is because people see him as a guy that's never really improved his stock over the years as a player, which I somewhat disagree with. I think he has improved on certain aspects of his game, but it's just not seen by people because all they really just see is this, they think that he's just this guy that's a volume shooter and that's it. The problem with Carmelo is not him. It's just that he doesn't have a good team around him. It's not his fault. You even said it earlier on the podcast. Carmelo plays well when he has a good floor general at point guard. When he had Chauncey Billups, he went to the Western Conference Finals. When he had Jason Kidd on New York, they went to the second round of the playoffs, which was unfortunate for them. I don't even know how the hell Roy Hibbert abused Tyson Chandler that whole series, but that's a whole discussion for a whole another day. But, Melo's a Hall of Famer, period. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's going to the Hall of Fame when he retires. I think people need to always stop putting so much blame on the player because I've seen Melo come up clutch on plays before. It's not like Melo is not clutch, but he is more of a scorer than anything else. Well, when you got a guy like that, you have to put the right pieces around a player like that. Okay. Get him a slip guard. Get him a guy that can defend on the wing. Get him a good defensive big. They don't have none of that in New York right now. New York is a hot mess. He needs to get out of there.
I'm sad to call myself a New York Knicks fan. But, I know that you are a Laker fan, Greg.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that means that you follow Kobe, so you know all about Kobe's career. I think Kobe and Melo, their games are so much alike. The only difference is, like you said, Kobe was blessed with a great owner at the time and a really good GM at the time and a really good coach that could put the pieces around him that he needed. You know, Kobe, if you strip away all his rings, he played defense for a couple years. I'll give him that. But at the end of the day, Kobe is a scorer. That's what he does best. That's what he wants to do. He straps up when he wants to. I'm not trying to take anything away from his defensive side of the ball. But at the end of the day, when you think Kobe Bryant, what you think of? Buckets?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Facts.
I agree with you to a certain extent. Kobe was definitely more of a scorer than anything else. I do think his playmaking ability at times is a little underrated. And it's not me trying to sit up here and say that he's like some Steve Nash
Steph Curry type passer. He's nowhere near that. But
I could say that. But
Kobe is. But one of the things I think is underrated about Kobe is that, because people forget when Steve Nash got hurt the year that him and Dwight Howard came in, he played point guard for majority of that season because Nash was hurt. And he actually did pretty well as the point guard, of the Lakers. But Kobe has supremely high basketball IQ.
Right.
And I think that's also his downfall sometimes too, because I think he was too smart for his own good. He would try to take a shot that was just not always the greatest of shot selection. Now sometimes it would work out for him and would go in, but there were some times he would be clanking. Look, I'm a Kobe fan all day, but one thing about me, I'm not a biased Kobe fan. He definitely has his flaws. He's had his share of down. There's no question about that. But Melo, he does remind me a little bit of Kobe. I just think the difference between the two is, because remember, Kobe's really never played with a great point guard. If you really think about it.
He played with a great big man. Melo a great big man, I think he'll do just as well. Like, when he had Tyson Chandler, who was an average big man, he did really well. When the Nate was playing like a real big man at one point in time, he did really well.
People forget with Kobe, because you even said it yourself, the irony is that Kobe's coach is Phil Jackson, who's working in the front office of New York. Personally, I think it would be better served for New York if Phil Jackson was coaching the team. Because I think
Doesn't want to coach. That's the problem.
And I don't understand that at all, because I think if Phil Jackson was to coach the team and they put good enough role players on the team, because I actually like Chris Paul for Porzingis. I think he's a good player. I don't think he stays healthy enough. And I think that has to change, but if they put the right pieces around those two guys and the new guy that they're going to draft, I'm not sure who they're going to get. I think from what I read, y'all was looking at some point guard.
Yeah, of course we're going to go point guard. I'm hoping for Dennis Smith.
Yeah, that's why I was like Dennis Smith Jr.
Dennis Smith is a stud from the NC State. Yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah, I'm hoping for him. I hope he slides to us, but I'm going to tell y'all what I think is the reason that Melo gets so much hate.
Well, hold on. Let me answer first. I want to answer for you first real quick.
I'm going to jump in on it.
I got no horse in this race. I got no dog in this fight because I'm a Pistons fan and we suck. So it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that out loud.
So listen, I keep it a bean, man. Well, the reason why I feel like Melo gets so much hate, man, is because people look at him as a mercenary. People feel like he didn't want to win. People wanted him to leave. If you remember, years ago, they wanted him to leave New York when he had the chance and go play with D. Rose, which honestly was a good decision not to leave, because he ended up playing with D. Rose in New York anyway. But you know what I'm saying? At the same time, you know, people wanted him to win, but when he stayed and just made all the money, people were like, well, he don't want to win. He just want to get paid, stuff like that. And I understood the narrative. For me, I rocks with Melo. You know what I'm saying? I rocks with Melo, and it kills me that I'm sitting here watching this man literally sit there and they don't build around him. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why, you know, you look at, and that's why I posted today on social media, if Allen Iverson had the GM power that LeBron has, what could have happened to the Sixers with AI? What if if Melo had the GM power that LeBron has, where he could go up the field or go up a few years ago and say, listen, I need this, this, and this. Make it happen. And they go out in free agency. They go out and trade picks. They do whatever they had to do to win now or win for a couple years. Don't waste this man away. So when you look at it, it pains me to see this man. So that's why I really believe people hate him and hate on him, because they're like, oh, he just wanted to jack shots. Oh, he wasn't playing defense. The funny thing is, you talking about jacking shots and playing defense, people love James Harden, and this dude sleeps on defense. Literally, he let a defender just run the baseline and catch a dunk. He didn't even know the dude was gone.
Harden.
Harden, because it's, you know what I'm saying, there's no D. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, the basketball community is so inconsistent with who they pick and choose to like and to hate. Because if you don't like Melo because he didn't play defense and didn't strap up, there's no reason for you to love James Harden. Yeah, he may pass the ball a little bit more, but he also has more help, because the team that they gave Melo that's around him right now, and I know people, shout out to Ryan Hurley, who was a complete, you know, Melo hater. I know Ryan Hurley be like, well, the trade with Denver, you know, I know the trade with Denver took pieces from New York and blah, blah. Like, listen, man, at the end of the day, you have the ability to build around whoever is on your team. Whoever's your star, you have the ability to do whatever you have to do to build around them. I don't want to hear no excuses from anybody about anything. They should have built around Melo, and they let the man sit there by himself. And people hate him for it because he should have left.
You know what, though? Krav brought up the elephant in the room, and he's right. People don't like Melo because of LeBron.
Facts. That, too.
So let me break down the history of why people don't like Melo because of LeBron. Let's start in 2003. LeBron was the first pick of the draft. The Pistons, who Damian seems to be a fan of.
Please do not bring that back up. Melo.
If the Pistons would have drafted Melo, Melo probably would have two rings right now. His career would be totally different.
Completely different.
Let's not talk in hypotheticals. Melo gets drafted to the Nuggets, number 3 overall. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Denver Nuggets that year both had 17 wins. When Melo went to the Nuggets, they became a 45-win team and went to the playoffs. When LeBron went to the Cavaliers, they became a 21-win team and missed the playoffs. Guess who won Rookie of the Year?
Melo.
LeBron James.
Oh, yeah, LeBron, my bad.
Melo should have won Rookie of the Year. He averaged more points and more rebounds.
Melo should have won Rookie of the Year, but he didn't.
That was the start of his decline. After that, stop snitching. Now, admittedly, that was his dumbness. He decided to be a fake tough guy and stand out there with some real killers, and he messed his image up a lot. The third thing that happened in Melo's career that messed him up was also his doing. He wanted to be greedy. LeBron James told him to not opt in when Denver offered him a contract extension. He did. He took the extra year. So he didn't become a free agent the year that LeBron, Wade, and Bosh did, because it was originally supposed to be LeBron, Wade, and Melo.
Yeah, I remember that.
So when he didn't do that, he cheated himself out of two rings right there. So that's two times he could have been a champion. He goes to New York. Dumbest decision he ever makes in his life, because all he had to do was sit there with his mouth shut, leave in the summer. New York keeps all their pieces, and you might actually make them a championship contender with David Lee and Gallinari and all those players for real.
Facts.
Yeah, and Amari was really going off that year. What is he averaging, like 28? Like, that was his last healthy year. And he ran his mouth to the media, also something that I didn't agree with that he did. And he ended up getting traded to New York because they didn't want to trade him to, they were still in New Jersey at the time. They didn't want to trade him to New Jersey. So New Jersey went and got Deron Williams, and New York traded for Carmelo Anthony. They gave up their whole team for him. So they were already behind the eight ball when he got there. And then, you know, Dolan turns around and hires Phil Jackson. I'm thinking Phil Jackson's coming in to be the coach. He can be the GM and the coach, but why he gotta just be the GM? Phil Jackson literally probably, like, this is how I envision Phil Jackson. He wakes up, he's sitting in his office, he does nothing all day but think of ways to make Carmelo's life hard. I think he leaked the picture of the girl that Melo got pregnant to Lala.
That's how bad I think Phil Jackson hates Melo right now.
Yeah,
I mean, sure. He gave Lala the picture. Like, go ahead and get out of here, Lala. You don't want to be in New York, okay, hoping that that'll make Melo leave. But seriously, all jokes aside, though, I think LeBron James is the reason, though, because he's so good and he does everything. It kind of changed the way people looked at and expected people to play the game. If you remember, before LeBron came around, ISO ball was at an all-time high.
Thanks.
You had dudes like McGrady, Kobe, Vince Carter, you know, like
AI.
It was really going, AI really going ISO the whole game. And then you had both games. When LeBron came, it kind of became a mash of both. You had a point guard and a power forward that could do both. He could push you up and he could take you to the rack. But they expected Melo to do the same things because he built similarly. He's not LeBron James, though. At the end of the day, Magic Johnson wasn't Michael Jordan.
Facts.
And that's the way I look at it. Melo is a great, great player in his own right. He will retire top five in scoring. He will retire with, you know, the most gold medals all time. And I'm pretty sure he's going to retire with a ring. First ballot Hall of Famer. But he will always be called the loser. And it's because of his best friend, honestly. LeBron James is the reason that he's being called the loser and not a good player. Because he's really, really good at what he does. He's a scorer and a rebounder. He rebounds better than LeBron on the low. People just don't talk about that.
Nope.
And to address the elephant in the room with him, his defense. His defense isn't even as bad as people believe. Like, I got stats and, you know, I post them in TFT to show people that he's rated top five at his position on ball defense. What Melo sucks at is team defense. He doesn't trust his teammates. It's the same thing on offense as it is on defense. He doesn't trust his teammates, so he's not going to help you when you get beat by your man. So when you get beat by your man and it look like Melo just standing there while he go get a layup, they going to say that Melo don't play defense.
Right.
It's crazy because it's unfortunate for him because him and LeBron got drafted the same year, so they're always going to compare the two, and I think that's unfair. You know, they're not the same type of player, obviously, but then it also helped that Wade got three rings, and he was in the same draft, and vice versa. But at the end of the day, Melo is great for who he is. He's an incredible scorer. Like you said, very underrated rebounder, and he is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Most definitely.
So there is no denying that I would want him on my team. I think if you put him in that second, maybe if you put him in that number two option, he would kill it because he could still score even though he's not the same player athletically he once used to be. He can still score with the best of them, man. I think if you put him, like you said earlier, I think if you put him on Cleveland, he does real damage on that team. You know? It's just unfortunate for Carmelo. Personally, I just hope he gets the hell out of New York, man. I think he's withering away over there.
I think for me, man, when I look at Melo, bro, keep it 100. When I look at Melo, like you said, I want him to get out of New York. I want him to leave, man. He needs to go somewhere else. I was hoping, because I don't know if you guys remember a couple years ago when LeBron and Wade and Bosch were in Miami. I think either Melo, I think it was when he got married or CP3 got married, one of the two, and they were talking about teaming up or whatever, trying to build the next super team to take down Miami. I wanted him and Chris Paul to play with each other.
I think it was when Wade or LeBron got married. It was one of the two.
Yeah, it was somebody's wedding, and then CP3 and Melo. I think it was somebody else was talking about creating that next duo or whatever. I wanted CP3 and Melo to team up so bad, yo. From the simple fact of the matter is, it would have gave Melo that point guard, that true point guard, who would have literally got him and created him easy buckets, like completely easy buckets, because not many point guards can check Chris Paul off the dribble. So especially when you factor in either forward or center pick and rolls, and then when you got Melo getting into the corner, that's
Melo
easy
and
threes.
Chris Paul in the pick and roll all day.
Exactly, all day.
Put Melo and CP3 in the pick and roll.
Exactly. But here's the thing, though. I don't know what you guys think. I know you guys said something about Cleveland, and I said this about KD, and I wish he would have went. But at the same time, I'm happy LeBron is losing. I'm glad he's in Golden State. I would love to see Melo team up in Washington with a pass first point guard in John Wall. With John Wall, Bradley Beal, Melo, you got Marcus Morris. I think they need to get rid of Gortat or find another center and put Gortat on the bench.
He's
garbage. So, but then you put that pushes, if they re-sign Otto Porter, that pushes him to your bench so you can get some three-point shooting, some scoring off your bench. But also, when you're second unit, you can run the offense through Melo and let him be the number one option. But with John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Melo, Wall could probably average 18 assists between Bradley Beal and Melo alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could literally eat with them cats.
You know what's so funny that you mentioned Washington? I mean, if you're looking at what Golden State is doing to Cleveland, teams like Washington, Boston, and San Antonio, they got no choice but to load up now.
Exactly.
The free agent market, getting star players, that has to be the new way for these teams now. They can't just stand pat no more. What are they going to do? Just wait 4 or 5 years to just say, oh, let's just wait to see what happens with Golden State 4 or 5 years later to see if they finally fall off. You know, it's not happening no time soon. So teams are really going to have no choice now but to really load up. An interesting thing for me would be
Don't take my team, Greg, because I got another one.
New Orleans?
Yes.
Oh, no, that's not who I'm going with.
I love it, man.
Because both of them give Golden State problems.
Facts.
Because both Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins give them problems. Like, their matchup nightmare is really for Golden State. I think that needs to be the team that people should really look at. And another team I think is very underlooked is Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee could be a very...
Greg, I just told you not to take my team, Greg.
I think Milwaukee is just one superstar away. Like,
I was literally just about to ask that same exact question. Would Melo take Milwaukee over the top? Come on, Greg.
I think so.
I mean, Wait a minute. Hold on now. Wait a minute, James. You got to admit, though. That boy Giannis, man, he's only going to get better.
I know. That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, man, if you add Melo to the Bucks, because you know Antetokounmpo is playing the point forward. You know he's playing the point forward.
Yeah, come on to the two, honestly.
You know he's playing that point forward, that point type of situation. He's bringing the ball up. He's going to get you your assist because he's kind of like a younger LeBron somewhat when you look at his physical attributes and how his game is. So you add Melo to that. Now, play through a little advocate in there. Let's just hope and pray that Jabari Parker could stay healthy.
Absolutely.
LeBron, like, seriously?
You know what, though, man? That kid, Thon Maker, man, he reminds me a lot of KG. He has His body type and his game is very similar to KG's when he first came into the league. And plus that, it would also help Melo to throw that because remember, he played with Jason Kidd.
Yeah, and Jason Kidd could get the best out of him.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Listen,
absolutely.
Man.
So it's some teams out there that Melo could fit. I just think that he needs to go to a team where they're serious about loading up, and they're serious about winning a championship. He don't need to go to a team that's not serious about winning a championship. He needs to go to somewhere like you said, like a Washington. I think Pop could make magic with him in San Antonio. I really do.
Oh yeah, definitely him and Kawhi. Yep. Yo,
Marcus don't play no defense.
Yeah,
and
he's inconsistent at best on offense. So you know, what I mean, you already know you're gonna get a consistent scorer with Melo.
Because I don't think Melo is necessarily the problem. I just think Melo realizes and understands he has nothing to really play for right now.
And that's facts.
And when you know you're gonna lose, it makes it hard for you to play. I don't care what anybody say. That's a fleeting.
Yeah, man. Listen, man. Listen. When I tell you, we definitely, for everybody listening, we definitely came in wanting to talk completely about just the game plan. But we know that that game four is going to be what it is, what game three was, and that's a win for Golden State. So before we close this out, I want to let you guys know we completely went off script, but we gave you great, just unadulterated, raw content. And that's what we do here at Couch Rider. We give you all types of unpredictable sports talk. So at the end of the day, continue to tune in, because I want to make this an actual full podcast about Melo as the season, as the offseason comes into, as we come into the offseason, rather. I want to talk about Melo a little more on a whole different podcast or whatever. And, Krev, I'm definitely bringing you back on, my man, because you dropped some jewels and some gems with some stats. Absolutely. You had, bro.
I appreciate it, son. Absolutely.
Hey, already, man. Anytime. Hey, listen, tonight was again, we brought fire, just like those new Currys. Check them out. I need to start making plugs so I can start getting paid from these people. So, yeah, check out those new Currys.
That is them dead shoes.
Yeah. Those pediatric shoes and stuff that he had on, a couple of seasons ago. Those weren't right. That wasn't right.
The pediatric shoes before we slide off. Y'all see them new Yeezy sneakers?
Oh, yeah, yo. I'm just like, yo. Man. Listen, from a diabetic, I thought those were diabetic shoes on the low.
Hey, man. Hey, the doctor showed sister.
Listen, man.
Every old dude with a walker gonna have a pair on this summer.
I swear, bro. Like, it got the smoothest soles, though. It's just so comfortable. The smoothest soles. Listen, man. Tonight has been a great show, man. Tonight's been a great show. I want to thank y'all boys again, Greg and my boy Craig, for coming on. Just a quick shout out again. Follow us on Twitter at Couch RR. That's again Couch RR on Twitter. Hit us up, follow, we follow back. Any topics you want us to address, hit us up, DM us, add us, whatever you want to do. Hit us up on Facebook at the Couch Rider Report. And like I said, if you're on iTunes, download, subscribe, share it, like it, leave a review, whatever. Hit us up, let everybody know there's a new sports talk in town, and that's the Couch Rider Report. But again, I want to thank you guys for coming on. Appreciate everybody for listening in. I'm Damien, your host as always, bringing you the original sports perspective from our cast to yours. That's Greg and Krev. Appreciate you, fellas. Everybody have a good night.